Okay, so this guy had a pulmonary abscess that was treated successfully with clindamycin. Clindamycin is our classic antibiotic for anaerobes above the diaphragm. Okay, it's a 50S ribosomal subunit inhibitor. Now, it has utility in aspiration pneumonia, okay, and also for pulmonary abscess. If the question ever asks you, for instance, you have an alcoholic who has a lung infection, it's just some miscellaneous infection, and they say, pharmacologically, what could be added to benefit this patient? And you're like, no fucking idea. Answer, clindamycin. Okay, not hard. Now they tell you there's a region of annular scarring. Annular is just a fancy adjective for ring-like. Okay, now if this guy had an acute pulmonary abscess, they would tell you there's an air fluid level on chest x-ray. Air fluid level just means you have a circle where you have two semicircles. The bottom half of the circle is radio opaque, it's white, that's pus that's settling in the abscess due to gravity. The top semicircle, the top half of that circle, it's going to be black, radiolucent, and that's just the air. They call that air fluid level. That's an abscess. Now, once again, they tell you that this guy was treated and he has annular scarring, however long later. And yeah, they don't give us a specific time frame. But the bottom line is he has scarring, and they say, why did he not have restoration to his original slash normal pulmonary tissue architecture? And you need to know that this is due to damage to the basement membranes. I know, sounds like a weird factoid. It is. But this is actually high yield for the step one NBME exams. So they'll ask this in another variation as well. They'll tell you some lady had a pneumonia that was treated successfully, and then months later she has a normal chest x-ray, and you'll just need to know, well, she did not have damage to the basement membranes. And for that question as well, sounds weird, but it's just a detail. For some reason or another, the NBME asks, it's just one of the anatomical points on their checklist. Capillary endothelial cells is the wrong answer, choice B. You say, well, why is that wrong? I mean, if we had damage to the capillary endothelial cells, I mean, couldn't that cause lasting damage? Yeah, I know, I agree. Sounds reasonable, but it's still basement membranes that they want. Now, Clara cells, choice C, I threw that in there as a distractor. People, when they're not sure of an answer, they tend to choose weird things they've never heard of before. So that's kind of a lesson for you. If you chose Clara cells here because you weren't sure, that was bait for you to choose the wrong answer. Clara cells are probably not going to get asked as a correct answer on the USMLE. They'll serve as a distractor, but they're actually exocrine cells within the lining of the respiratory tract that secrete glycosaminoglycans. They have a protective effect. Okay, once again, I doubt it would show up as a correct answer, more just serve as a distractor. Type 1 pneumocytes are the cells that partake in gas exchange, simple squamous. They account for 95% of the surface area of the alveoli. Okay, so very, very thin in diameter. Sometimes, they can be on the nanometer scale. And I believe I had read in the literature somewhere that they actually, researchers required electron microscopy to confirm that all of the alveoli were indeed covered by pneumocytes, because some of the cells are so thin, some of the type 1 pneumocytes are so thin they can't be seen on light microscopy. But, that's all you need to know is type 1, they account for 95% of surface area. They're simple squamous. They partake in the actual gas exchange. And then type 2 pneumocytes, those have two main functions you need to know. Number one is they are the stem cells of the lung. So let's say you get damage to type 1 pneumocytes and they ask you, well, what's going to happen? In response, one of the correct answers could be increased proliferation of type 2 pneumocytes. The type 2 can proliferate and become type 1 pneumocytes. Okay, so the type 2 act as stem cells, obviously much fewer or far fewer in number compared to type 1. Or sorry, actually, let me correct myself right now. Type 2 pneumocytes are ironically and paradoxically more numerous. Okay, there's more of them but they just account for a far lesser surface area because they're not the ones partaking in gas exchange. So there are more type 2 pneumocytes compared to type 1 overall. We count just number, but type 1, as we said, they account for 95% of surface area because they're the ones in, partaking in gas exchange. Type 2 are the stem cells. And type 2 pneumocytes are also the ones that secrete surfactant. So they have specialized organelles called lamellar bodies. Lamellar bodies. This is not a weird factoid. This is something you need to know and is asked on the Step 1 NBMEs. Lamellar bodies secrete pulmonary surfactant, okay? Prevents the alveoli from collapsing. Surfactant's an oily substance, very important in neonates, okay? Neonates after 35, 36 weeks of gestation, they get adequate surfactant, adequate production of lamellar bodies within the type 2 pneumocytes to prevent neonatal respiratory distress syndrome. There's actually an NBME question floating around where they give you a neonate born at, let's say, 28 weeks gestation who had neonatal respiratory distress syndrome. They said which of the following would likely be decreased in the neonate, and the answer was lamellar bodies. So it's, I know it sounds like a weird factoid, but it's something they ask the same way they want you to know that if you have damage to the basement membranes in the alveoli, then that can preclude, that can prevent restoration of normal tissue architecture. That's it.